Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Would be hard to exist on the internet at the moment without seeing ads or something from Temu and looking at the products they're selling going, how do they get products that cheap? Well, I'm not going to go into Temu and others like Temu. But that's really who they're going after here. Some people will claim that these changes are to protect Amazon. It's kind of obvious that Temu is stealing a bunch of Amazon's traffic, and maybe that these changes are really being driven by a need to protect some companies that are more closely tied to the US. And look, to be honest, who could blame them really?
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Did the US government really just kill dropshipping? Okay, so on this channel here, myself and my co-host, Ben, we've been dropshipping for a combined 20 plus years. And to be honest, we're just over the attention-grabbing headlines and BS that people propagate when it comes to dropshipping. Every single year since we've been dropshipping, which goes way back to 2014, somebody out there online has been saying, dropshipping's dead. Dropshipping's dead in 2023. Dropshipping's dead in 2022. Dropshipping's dead in 2021. And 2024 is no different. In the last couple of months, you know, there's been a whole bunch of people who have come out and said, oh, dropshipping's dead. And it's because of some recent changes that the Biden administration in the US has said they're going to make. So, is this really true? I'll get into the changes in a moment, but let's just answer the big question right out of the gate. Is it really true that the regulations that the US government are changing kill dropshipping? The answer is no. They do not kill dropshipping. That is a vast, vast over-exaggeration of the truth. And anyone who makes that claim is simply seeking to grab a headline and get some attention. So I'm going to get into what the changes are and who they specifically affect. But just in case you're new to this idea of dropshipping and e-commerce, I'm going to quickly explain what dropshipping is. So dropshipping is merely a method of e-commerce fulfillment. It is not a business model. Dropshipping means that there is business A runs a website, an e-commerce website where they sell physical products. When a customer orders a product on website A, which is run by company A, that company does the marketing, does the customer service, collects the payment for the product, and then they go and purchase that product that the customer ordered on their website from company B, who is the supplier. Now, company B could be anywhere. They could be in the same country as the customer. They could be in the same country as the website that the customer purchased from. Or in some cases, under some forms of dropshipping, they could be in another country like China. Company B, the supplier, ships the product from their warehouse directly to the customer. And that is dropshipping. From the customer's perspective, the purchase is the same as any e-commerce website. They place an order, they make a payment, the product gets shipped to them, they get a fulfillment notice, and often they don't know, they're none the wiser as to where it's coming from. And there's nothing wrong with that. Dropshipping, this practice of fulfillment, this particular method of fulfillment, has been happening for more than 20 years. It's been happening almost as long as e-commerce itself has been happening. And it happens on massive websites that you definitely know, like Amazon or Walmart. So dropshipping is sometimes reported by some people as to be this weird little niche thing that some people who are kind of scammy do over here in this part of the world. The reality is it happens everywhere and it's been happening for a really long time and it's not going anywhere. It's not going to stop and there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, so that's the general idea of dropshipping. Now, let's talk about the changes that the US government recently, the Biden administration, has made. So the US has, you know, customs laws and laws relating to how products are imported into the country, when payments are due, like customs payments and things like that, tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. Now, for Sometime, I don't know the actual length of time, there has been what's known as a de minimis rule or a de minimis exemption in place, which says that if products are under a certain price, and that price point is $800, they're not required to, there's no customs duties or tariffs or taxes related to them, and they don't have to meet certain other documentation requirements. Now, this has been around for some time. Essentially, what's happened is that the Biden administration, so that's the current administration, this is not a Trump thing at this point, has said that they're removing this de minimis exemption. And they're making a couple of other changes as well. And so, this directly relates to products that are drop-shipped into the US from another country. Now, the most common country that people drop-ship from is usually China. And if you read the Biden administration's press releases around these changes, it's quite clear that they're trying to target some big Chinese companies with this, aka Temu. It would be hard to exist on the internet at the moment without seeing ads or something from Temu and looking at the products they sell and going, how do they get products that cheap? Well, I'm not going to go into Temu and others like Temu. There's others that they're targeting here, like possibly Shein and some other large Chinese dropship type companies. But that's really who they're going after here. Some people will claim that these changes are to protect Amazon. It's kind of obvious that Temu is stealing a bunch of Amazon's traffic, and maybe that these changes are really being driven by a need to protect some companies that are more closely tied to the US. And look, to be honest, who could blame them, really? So, the changes at this point haven't actually taken effect. So, that's the first thing to note. They've been announced, but it takes some time for changes like these to run through. It could take 18 months. It could take a couple of years. And, of course, we have a new government that is coming into place in the US in the not-too-distant future. And it's unclear exactly at this point as to how they're going to put in- this is going to be put into effect under them. So, what are the three changes? The first change is that customs duties and tariffs will now apply to all products, regardless of their price, that are drop-shipped from China and or other countries, one would assume. So, that in and of itself is not a massive problem. Now, if you're running a business that drop-shipped cheap products from China, and I'm going to go into this in further in a moment, this idea of drop-shipping from China, because it's a bad idea in the first place for many other reasons. But let's say you were doing that, right? Now you will have to, or your customer will have to pay a customs duties or tax on each order. Now, from a margin perspective, that's probably not going to be the end of the world. And that in and of itself would not stop you from drop shipping from China. Yes, it would reduce the profit margin a little bit on doing so, if you already had one in the first place. But that in and of itself is not the problem here for the companies that this change is targeting. It's the next two changes that are being made here, which maybe a lot of people aren't focusing or understanding quite so much, that actually do make it much more difficult. The second change is that dropshipping companies that are dropshipping individual products from China into the US will now have to provide, essentially, the social security number of every customer they sell a product to that is shipped from China. Now, currently, when a business imports, say, a bulk load of products in shipping containers from China to the US, you have to provide documentation. Obviously, the price of that shipment is going to be much higher. It could be in the tens of thousands or the hundreds of thousands of dollars or something like that. You have to provide documentation to the US government to go along with importing that stuff. And part of that is you're going to provide your business identification numbers or your EIN, for example. Well, individual they're basically applying that requirement to individual customers in the case of products that are drop-shipped from China here. And so that means an individual customer, a member of the public, doesn't usually have an EIN number. They have the equivalent of that for an individual, which is a social security number. And so what it looks like at this point is that when you buy something from a website like Temu or any other company that's drop shipping from China, they will have to ask you for your social security number, which you may have to provide to them if you're in the US, this is. Would you want to do that? Well, most people are willing to bet that you're probably not going to want to do that. I know I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to give an e-commerce company any information that I don't have to, because how do I know how they're going to protect it? So, it's likely that that change is going to make it harder for those companies that these changes are targeting to find customers who are willing to do that. And so, that's going to therefore, presumably, hurt their sales significantly and hurt their revenue and profits and make it less likely that they want to carry that business out. That's the second change. The third change here is now to say that all products that are imported into the US that are under $800 in price will now have to have a certificate of compliance to go along with them, showing that they meet US regulations at the point of entry. For example, electronic products having to meet UL certification. Currently, this was only really required for products over $800. So, all of these companies that are dropshipping, say, cheap clothing from China, electronic products, as I've mentioned, products that might be used, that might be targeted towards children, for example, they will have to show that they meet, that they are compliant for any relevant US regulations. Now, it's no secret that there are a lot of products that are imported from China that are cheap, throwaway kind of products, which is typically what you see dropshipped from China, that would not meet US regulations if they were forced to comply with them. It will cost those companies more to attain that sort of compliance, and therefore less likely that it's financially viable for them to be dropshipping them in one by one. But not only that, it appears that the onus of providing that compliance certificate may fall on the customer. And once again, how many customers do you think are going to want to have to do that every time they buy something that is dropshipped in from China? It's unlikely that they would want to, but it's also unlikely. Like, there's examples of products dropshipped in from China that contain harmful chemicals, heavy metals, all sorts of nonsense. And so, from one perspective, I can see that this change makes sense. There simply, it is the case that unsafe products have been dropshipped in from China in the past, probably still currently are, and the US government wants to cut that out to protect consumers. Not a bad change, if you ask me. So, those are the three changes. That, as I say, these changes aren't even in place yet. So, if you were dropshipping from China right now, nothing has changed for you. These are things that are going to come into effect in an upcoming sense. And yes, they may, at some point in the future, make it difficult to dropship products from China. And this is where we get to the crux of whether this is killing dropshipping or not. And as I said at the start, no, it is not. Dropshipping from China is merely one way of going about dropshipping. It actually hasn't even been happening for that long. About 5 or 6 years ago, we saw the explosion of gurus on the internet promoting AliExpress dropshipping, or sometimes they call it Shopify dropshipping. It's a terrible business model. It's not even a business model, really. As I mentioned, dropshipping is a method of fulfillment. It's a terrible way to run an e-commerce business. It was 5 or 6 years ago, it was 2 years ago, and it still is today. So, regardless of these regulations, it's not really something you should be doing anyway. The products are crap. They take ages to ship. The marketing for a beginner is very difficult. And so, for somebody who's looking to get started with dropshipping, it's just not the best way to do it in the first place. Ask yourself that question. Do you want to constantly be chasing the next winning product? Building businesses that burn out after 6 months because the product you're trying to force down people's throat, people work out. They don't work. They fall apart. They're poor quality. Sometimes they never even show up, or they take 3 to 4 weeks to ship to the customer. It's nonsense. The right way to do dropshipping, the way that people have been doing for many years, many, many years, that we are still doing today, is to source products locally. So, if you run a business in the US, if you live in the US and you're running a business, if you're selling to US-based customers, you should be dropshipping them products that are warehoused already in the US. Generally, this means they're going to be brought there in large quantities. They're always going to be in stock. Shipping timeframes are going to be much shorter. So, the customer gets an experience that they actually expect from an e-commerce business. The products are more likely to comply with US regulations and laws. And it's a better experience for you as a business owner. Well, I can take this one step further. The best way to do dropshipping at this point is what we call high-ticket dropshipping versus AliExpress dropshipping, which is usually low-ticket dropshipping. And the simple reason for this is, just think about it. Let's say you sell a $20 pair of fake eyelashes. Maybe you make $5 to $10 profit when you sell one of those under currently without any of the upcoming changes. And you're dropshipping that from China to a customer in the US. Now, that's a product I've seen people try and dropship before, right? How many of those do you have to sell to make any real money? Thousands and thousands and thousands of individual orders that you have to work to fulfill constantly. Then you have to deal with all the customer service, the dissatisfied customers because the product is nonsense. Now, I want to flip that. Let's say you are selling an infrared sauna that's warehoused in the US. The customer receives it in 2 to 3 days. It sells for $6,000. And when you sell one, your profit is $1,000 in your pocket pre-tax. Now, ask yourself the question. It's already warehoused in the US. You're sourcing it from a US company that people already know and trust, a brand name they are already looking for. And so ask yourself the question, do you want to sell one product and profit $1,000 or sell 1,000 products to make the same amount of money? 1,000 orders that you have to fulfill, that you have to work on. I know which I'd prefer, and that's what we do. We do high-ticket dropshipping, and this is the method of dropshipping that has been working, as I said, for more than 20 years. I've personally been doing it for more than 10 years. It works today just as well as it does the day that I started, and it is completely unaffected by these US government changes that we've been talking about in this video. So how do you get started? There's simple 5 steps to start a high-ticket dropshipping business. First, you want to go and find a niche. So your niche includes the customers you're going to serve and the products you're going to sell them. Second, you're going to set up a website. And we do use the Shopify platform. It's a great platform for beginners. It's very friendly. It's easy to use. You can build a good, high-quality website on that platform. And you build it because in the next step, the third step, you're going to reach out to suppliers. So suppliers in this case are companies that have a presence in the US, or if you can do it in another country like Australia or the United Kingdom or Canada, the company has a presence there. They have a website there. They have a brand name which you can find, and you're going to reach out to them and seek to be an approved reseller for their products. Now, they are sitting there waiting for people like you to call them, people who want to run a good business, sell their products to customers who are in the market looking for those types of products. You're going to have a website set up, so they're going to see that you're serious and that you know what you're doing, and a portion of those people you reach out to will give you approval to sell their products. They're going to give you things like product images, product data, product videos, all of this sort of stuff. Because they're high quality suppliers, they already have all of that material for you. You don't have to make it up yourself. Once again, if you want to go down the low ticket AliExpress dropshipping route to make any sales, you're going to find yourself on video constantly choking down these crappy products and having to make marketing materials for them. With high ticket dropshipping, we don't do that. We don't need to do that because those materials are already made and you get access to them. So the step 4 is you pop those products onto your Shopify website. You upload the product data, the images, you make the listings. And then in the 5th step, you run ads on search engines. So no social media marketing here. High ticket dropshipping is primarily search engine based marketing. And so we use strategies like Google Ads, Google Shopping Ads, search engine optimization to get our products in front of customers who are already looking for them. So there's 5 simple steps there to start a high-ticket dropshipping business. And if you'd love to grab a free, more extensive training on exactly how we do this, you can watch me walk through the steps on the screen with actual examples. Head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. You'll find a link below as well. And you can grab a free training that takes you through in more depth as to how you can get one of these businesses started in the next month and start making your first sales. So once again, the recent US government changes to the customs regulations and the de minimis rule and or exemption do not kill dropshipping. Dropshipping is still a viable method of e-commerce fulfillment and will continue to be for quite some time.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.